Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Sahasranam, name 844, is Nirguna. The impersonalists become enlivened considering this name. Just shortly before this, we had the name Amurti, which literally means no form. And now we have Nirguna, meaning no qualities. And the impersonalists take this as definitive in all of Vishnu Sahasranama. So it might seem a bit strange why I'm supposed to be a follower of the Vaishnavas and I'm speaking in a Vishnu temple and I'm going to speak about Nirguna, how the Supreme is. Nirguna literally means without qualities. So what's going on here? Why am I speaking on this? This is Vishnu Sahasranama. The name previous to this was Guna Brit, who has qualities, who sustains qualities. But the impersonalists will take the Nirguna literally. I'll get back a little later as to why we don't. But first, I'll read Shankaracharya. He also has a commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama, before all the Vaishnava commentaries, because chronologically, as you know, Shankara came well before Ramanuja and Madhva and the Vaishnava Acharyas. So, of course, the Alvas were there before, but they were not so much engaged in philosophical discussion or in defeating Mayavad. But Shankara, he says, Vastuto guna abhavat nirguna. Which our boys are studying Sanskrit. So, then we have to see Vastutaha. Guna abhavat means lacking qualities. Then Vastutaha means, how would you translate that? Actually, in fact. Really. Really, he doesn't have it. So this is the meaning of Nirguna. And the impersonalists, they take it to mean, well, he doesn't have any qualities, no qualities whatsoever. Nothing. Shankara quotes from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, where Nirguna is mentioned. Sakshi Cheta Kevalo Nirgunascha. He's a Sakshi. Cheta Kevala. Then this we get the Shankara Sampradaya gives the idea that the Supreme is Chinmatra, only consciousness. And they can quote here from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Cheta Kevalo Nirgunascha. But there's also Sakshi, which means some quality. He has the quality of being Sakshi, of being a witness. So being a witness means you should have some localized intelligence. But anyway, the Mayavadis love these words, Cheta Kevalo Nirgunascha, is from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which also has so many theistic statements. Natasya karyam karanangja vidyate, natatsamas chabhyati kaschatrishyate, parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Well, there are qualities in him right there. He has the shaktis, the energies of activity, of knowledge, then there are so many theistic statements. Para, this whole verse which I just quoted from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, it's the subject is para, parasya. It's everything in the verse is in relation to para, which means who's superior to others. That's a quality. It's illogical to say that is absolutely devoid of qualities in all respects. Here's a Mayavadi commentary on this name Nirguna in English, without any properties. That which has any property is matter, which is perishable, changeable, and finite. The imperishable, the changeless, the infinite, therefore must be propertyless. Everything in matter has qualities, and it's perishable, changeable, and finite, but the absolute is imperishable, unchangeable, and infinite. So the conclusion is, according to the Mayavadis, that the absolute has no qualities. It's just, again, chinmatra, only consciousness, not conscious of anything. But just consciousness. Consciousness without being conscious of anything. And this chinmatra, this supreme, undivided consciousness, illumines everything. Although there's nothing really to illumine, the absurdities are infinite. Everything they say. He takes form, the Mayavadis say, and he becomes Sagun Brahma. Actually, the Absolute Truth is Nirgun Brahma, they say. Don't you believe it? The Absolute Truth is Nirgun Brahma, but not in the way they understand. And then he doesn't really, it's not really a he, but you have to say something. He, it, or whatever, beyond words, takes form and has qualities and comes into this world, and in this way becomes Sagun Brahma, which is actually a representation of illusion, to lift all of us who are in an illusion, but the illusion doesn't really exist. Or if it exists, it's anirvachaniya. We can't explain how it exists. And Ishvara comes in various forms with qualities to uplift us. But he's in Maya also, because he's got qualities. But he lifts us out of Maya. And the contradictions are endless. It's a bunch of rubbish, actually. Some joke came to my mind as I was contemplating on this. Someone from the West comes back and says to his friends, "I went to India on a spiritual search and I got nothing." "Oh, congratulations, you were successful." Srila Prabhupada writes in his Gita commentary about sagun and nirgun. He says, "Worship may be sagun and nirgun of the supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship of the deity in the temple is sagun worship, for the Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities such as stone, wood, or oil paint, is not actually material." So that's one perspective on it, but actually this discussion of Sagun Brahma and Nirgun Brahma is very much misrepresented by the impersonalists, who say that, well, yeah, while you're on a lower level, you can worship Sagun Brahma. You worship deities in the temple, and because we need some form to meditate on, but then when you become realized, you don't need any form. Once I was in Vrindavan, there's a few years ago, and I was staying outside the Krishna Balaram temple. Almost every one of our devotees who visit Vrindavan stay outside the temple because there's very limited facility in the temple. So I was going to the temple, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and as I was passing, I just saw in someone's house, there was, at that time of the morning, there was a talk going on by some Asharam Bapa in Hindi. So I just stopped to see, what's he talking about? And so he's telling a story that Tukaram, one day he goes to the temple of Vital in Pandharapur, and Vital tells him, you don't need to come to the temple anymore. Now you're self-realized. Now you and I are the same. You don't need to come to the temple anymore. Wonderful. What happened to him? He's still in prison or what? He's dead or what happened to him? Still in prison. It's all Brahman, I guess. He doesn't need to go to the temple anymore. So these are the kinds of very poisonous explanations they give. And Tukaram himself, although not a philosopher per se, but was very much insistent on this point of that you are a real person. I don't want all this merging, because that all got mixed up in that Varkala Sampradaya. There's Gyaneshwari. It's a Bhagavad Gita in Marathi with mixed in Mayavad explanations. So that all got mixed up in that Sampradaya. So it's really very necessary to preach and give people the right idea. God is a person. The Absolute is sentient. Thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Abhay Charanaravinda, Das Adhikari, became noticed by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for these two lines. How we have to say, now these boys are going to Gurukul. Srila Prabhupada, when this is in the 1960s, I think it was, Hayagriva's, maybe early 1970s, Hayagriva's son, Samba. He was just going to school at New Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada wrote Hayagriva and said, I can't wait for the day when he grows up and he defeats all the Mayavadis. So Gurukul boys, they should come out and defeat all the Mayavadis. Very wrong ideas they're propagating. He comes in this world, but he's not of this world. How many times in this series of talks have I quoted this verse, this Vishnu Sahasranama? Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stho pitad gunai na yujyate sadatma stair yata buddhis tadashraya. Is very important verse, definitively stating the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is his position as Isha. This is what defines him as being supreme. That he comes into the world of material nature. He is as if situated in the world of material nature, but he's aloof from material nature. He's not in touch with it. He na yujyate. He doesn't become mixed up or involved in it. He's always situated in his own personal position beyond the modes of material nature. Anyata buddhista dashraya. And those who take shelter of him, they also come to this transcendental position. On the other hand, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, the position of the conditioned soul, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan. Gunan. Hear the word gunan. Gunai prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. This is the position of, the same word is used, purusha. We see, even in the same chapter of Gita, the word purusha, is sometimes it refers to the Supreme Lord, sometimes it refers to the imitation purusha, the person who's trying to enjoy this material world. So here we have prakriti stho, etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stho, prakriti staha, he's in material nature, situated in material nature. And the same term is used in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, purusha prakriti stohi. So this, the false enjoyer in the material world, he's in material nature, but he is yujyate, he is entrapped in material nature. Purusha prakriti stohi, because he's trying to enjoy it. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan. He's trying to enjoy the qualities which arise from material nature. Because of this, he becomes entangled in the modes of material nature, and he has to enjoy or suffer better or worse situations within different kinds of births. But Krishna's position is completely different. It's very straightforward to understand from Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam, Krishna's apparent birth and his activities are all transcendental. So this has to be understood. Otherwise, people, if at all they try to understand Krishna, they go to some bogus guru or they see something on TV. If you don't get the right idea from the right source, you're going to get the wrong idea from the wrong source. And our tendency is to get the wrong idea because we're in illusion in the material world. So, we should understand properly, who is Krishna? These words come up in Shastra. We'll find the word nirguna many times in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam. Importantly, it describes pure devotional service, nirguna sahyudaharitam. Pure devotional service is stated to be nirguna. But the context is very clear, because prior to this, Kapila Dev has described devotional service influenced by sattva-gun, devotional service influenced by rajo-gun, and devotional service influenced by tamo-gun. And then pure devotional service. When it says nirgun, it very clearly means beyond the modes of material nature. When one has no personal or material motive. So nirguna, this should be under, when we say guna brit, the name which came previously, the two principal understandings of that name, one is that he maintains the three modes of material nature, and the other is that he himself personally has unlimited transcendental qualities. Bhajaniya Sarva Sadguna Vishishta, Jiva Goswami. quoted this morning. He's worshipable because he has all transcendental qualities. He's characterized by all transcendental qualities. So here when we say nirguna, it doesn't mean he has no qualities whatsoever. Otherwise, how could he be guna brit? But that, it means that he's not touched by the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajo-gun, tamagun. And that fits with the descriptions of Bhagavatam, this etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tad gunai na yujyate. So again, we have to understand it in this way. He supports the three gunas as guna brit. What is that verse that chupir gunamaya bhavair edamana ebi sarvam idam jagat mohitam sarva bhut namebhya paramavyayam. Krishna, he says again, chibhir gunamaya bhavaya. I always get mixed up edamana madapuman with the Queen Kunti. Ebi sarva midang jagat. This whole material creation is full of the three material qualities. Then the next line. Mohitang na bijana ti mamebhya paramavyayam. One should not be illusioned by this, knowing that I am above all this. It's difficult to get out of that illusion. Daivihi esha gunamai. That very illusion is spun by the three modes of material nature. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratea. It's very difficult to get out of that. But mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. One can come out of that, those three modes and understand Krishna if one takes shelter of him. So we should understand. He's above the mode. He controls the modes. He's above the modes. He's beyond the influence of the modes of material nature. He handles and controls the whole universe, which are made of the three modes, but he's not influenced or affected by them in any way. Another meaning of nirguna is that he's not affected, just like in the morning session while discussing guna brit, he's free from all the bad qualities. The 16 maha doshas that we enumerated this morning in Maha Varaha Purana, he's free of all bad qualities. So in this way he's nirguna. This is the way it's to be understood. The names guna brit and nirguna, they might appear to be contradictory. But in the Supreme Lord, they are consistent. But we just have to understand how. From Gita again, ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye mata eveti tanviti natvahang teshu te mai. Know that all states of being, that means sattva, rajas and tamas, are manifested by my energy, Krishna says. I am everything, in one sense, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are within me. Parashrabhata, he gives the insight that although the Supreme Lord is in intimate touch with the jivas, who are within material nature, but he is not touched by any of the defects of the jivas. So we can say, is the Supreme Lord is in the heart of a pig also? You may say, well, that's a very demeaning kind of statement, that God is in the heart of a pig. But it's true. But he doesn't partake of pig nature. Even from the absolute platform of perception, point of view, perspective, even the jiva doesn't partake of the pig's nature. Although he appears to. He's in contact with the three modes of material nature. But the Supreme Lord, even though residing with the jiva who's in the body of a pig, is never contaminated by that. Baladev Vidyabhushan states that he's nirguna because he's not tainted by the modes that are sustained by him. And Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes this, etad ishanam ishasya Parashara Bhatta interprets this name because in this sequence of names, he's seeing the link between the names and the Ashtamaha Siddhis, the great perfections or the principal siddhis which yogis, they strive to attain. There's Anima, Lagima, Mahima, Ishidva, and so on. Prapti Siddhi, and so on. So, Parashabhata equates this name, Nirguna, with Vashitvam, the ability to make others Vashibhuta, to bring others under one's control. Of course, these powers which the yogis try to get, and some yogis get them, and they become amazing to others. If a yogi has such powers, he becomes amazing to others, but these powers are naturally, fully, always, naturally, inherently in the Supreme Lord, without him having to do any meditation. Srila Prabhupada sometimes pointed that out, that sometimes people think that you can meditate and become God, but Krishna, as a baby, he killed Putana and he didn't have any time to meditate to become God. He was just a baby. So he's always God from the very beginning. Parashara Bhatta, to uphold this equating Nirguna with Vashitvam, he quotes Taittiriya, doesn't say, I guess if it's just stated Taittiriya, it must be the Upanishad. Vishvasya Mishyato Vashi, which means he keeps the entire world under his submission. Satvadayo nasanti she yatra cha prakrita gunaha. This is from Vishnu Purana, which states that the sattva guna and the other gunas, they cannot exist in him. They're under his control, but they have no scope over him. Now I'm going to recite one verse from Sri Brahma Sanghita. Mayahi yasya jagadanda shatani sute trigunya tadvishaya veda vitayamana sattvavalambipara sattvam vishuddha sattvam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Note in this verse trigunya, referring to the three modes of material nature. And we're discussing Nirguna, he who is devoid of the three modes of material nature. So the translation of this verse that's given in the edition of Brahma Sanghita, published by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the translation is as follows. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, namely sattva, rajas, and tamas, and who diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. This verse has been quoted and explained by the Gaudiya Acharya Raghava Goswami in his composition called Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash. And he explains, this is translated from the Sanskrit of Raghava Goswami, he says that in this verse the word Sattvavalambi refers to Mahavishnu. That means Sattvavalambi means he is the one who accepts sattva. Parasattva, superior goodness, refers to Lord Vasudev, and Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, refers to Lord Govinda, who is known as Sri Krishna Chandra. And he goes on to explain this. The word Sattvavalambi refers to goodness when it touches the mode of passion and ignorance. So in this material world, the mode of goodness is always mixed to some extent with the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So Mahavishnu, the first of the Purusha avatars, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, also known as Mahavishnu, Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu, and Kshira Dakshayi Vishnu. So Kshira Dakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu is the Paramatma of the whole material manifestation. Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu is the Paramatma in each universe, and Kshira Dakshayi enters into each universe and into every atom and with every jiva. So that Kshira Dakshayi Vishnu is a Purusha avatar and also a Guna avatar. There are three Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Brahma is the overseer of the Rajoguna. Vishnu is the overseer of the Sattvaguna. And Rudra is the overseer of the Tamoguna. So Vishnu as Mahavishnu, who enters into this world, kind of. He's aloof by his drishtipat, by his glance. He agitates the material energy into action. So he has a relationship with material nature aloof, but something is there, some relation is there, but aloof. And particularly he's concerned with Sattvagun, and the Rajogun is deputed to Brahma and Tamoguna to Rudra. So Sattvavalambi refers to Mahavishnu, and Vasudev, the all-pervading Supreme Lord, Vaikunthanath, Parasattva, superior goodness. He's Vaikunthanath, but he appears in this world. Vasudev means all this Lord who is all-pervading. So he pervades everything, but he's situated in pure goodness. And Vishuddha Sattva, goodness far beyond any even imagination of anything to do with material, refers to Govinda, Krishna Chandra, in the spiritual world. So the sattva of this material world is expanded from Lord Vishnu. And if there was no this material energy is by nature, its characteristic is ignorance. But a modicum of goodness is there, emanating from Vishnu. Otherwise, people could not be elevated. That's his mercy. There is a modicum of goodness in this world. Lord Mahavishnu expands his illusory potency, Maya, to manifest the creation. The creation is done by his Maya. Lakshmi, Saraswati, and the other goddesses are manifested from the mode of passion, and the demons from the mode of ignorance. The Lord has many names, such as Janardana and Madhusudana, that celebrate his enmity to the demons. So he's against the mode of ignorance, and he's against those who are Murtiman, one of the names of Lord Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasrara, Murtiman. That's the opposite of Amurti. But we can say that the demons, they are ignorance, Murtiman, and Krishna is opposed to them. By the mode of passion, Lord Vasudeva begot 560 million descendants in his 16,000 queens at Dwaraka. By the mode of ignorance, he killed Kamsa, Narakasura, and other demons. By the mode of goodness, he protects the earth. Lord Vishnu is situated in the mode of goodness. Wait a minute, he begot so many descendants through the mode of passion. He killed so many demons by the mode of ignorance. But wait a minute, and then again, says Lord Vishnu is situated in the mode of goodness. So, when we say that he begets queens through the mode of passion, it's something like calling the love of the gopis for Krishna kamanuga. The word kama is used because their love for Krishna, it appears to be like mundane lust, but it's absolutely pure. It appears like that. But Krishna, for him actually there's no sattva-gun, rajagun, or tamagun. And even to say he's Vishuddha Sattva, it gives the idea of something that's been purified. Just like we get pure gold, it means it's been purified. In the natural state, we don't find pure gold. We find gold nuggets, which are mixed up with so many different elements. And we get iron ore, which is mixed up with other chemicals. So that has to be purified by a smelting process, and that has to be extracted. When we say Vishnu is Vishuddha Sattva, it doesn't mean he's purified from the influence of the material nature, and that therefore he becomes pure. We speak about Vishuddha Sattva, absolutely pure goodness. That's from our perspective. But from his perspective, there's no question of impurity. We make a differentiation like that, to differentiate between his position and our position, and between gradations of our position in this material world. There are gradations within this material world. Sattva-gun, Rajogun, Tamagun, there are gradations. But he is always far above these. We say Vishuddha Sattva because the Sattva Guna of this material world is a reflection of the original pure goodness who is Krishna. And something is there, otherwise no one could be saintly. No one could be self-realized. No one could start to make any spiritual progress. There wouldn't even be any morality. There wouldn't be even a question of good and bad. What exactly is good and what is bad, people become confused. But even the concept of good and bad is possible because of the pure, unsullied goodness who is Krishna. But in his existence, There's only goodness with no badness. But from our perspective, we see it as completely pure goodness, because we have a concept of badness. But in him there's no concept of badness, because he is completely pure, like pure gold. There's no admixture. Of course, in this material situation, we may add something to it. One reason is to make it, it'll have 18 karat gold. There's a lot of copper mixed in there. That's just to make it cheaper. 22 karat isn't even completely. There's some admixture. Or with iron, we may have iron ore, but generally iron in the modern times is mixed with a little carbon in a process to make it very strong. We need to add something to it to make it very strong. But with Vishnu, there's no need to mix anything. He's completely pure and perfect, independent, doesn't require the mixture of anything else. So when we say that by the mode of passion, he begot children, that means from our perspective, if we think that he's, the mode of goodness just means you do nothing. But it's not like that. We understand from Bhagavad Gita, one of the descriptions of the mode of goodness, or the mode of ignorance, Dirgha Sutri, procrastination. And the mode of goodness is the opposite. What's the term? I'm just not remembering the Sanskrit, but it means someone who... Well, we find even in the beginning of Gita, one who works as he is obliged, he just does his duty. That's the mode of goodness. That's nishkam, karma, working as a duty. That is in the mode of goodness. Those terms don't become discussed until later in the mode in the Bhagavad Gita. So all these points have to be understood very carefully if we are to understand Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. Now it's time for Tulsi Arati. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya chunakam padiyo nipatya kritva chakakushatam etadaham bravimi hey sadhava sakala evivihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurutanu radaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumokaro navayang vichare yamaha Hari Rasa Madhira Madhati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Natama Nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.